We'll turn now to Nehemiah chapter 11, and we'll consider this evening something of the message of this chapter. I would guess that there's not many Christmas Day sermons preached on Nehemiah chapter 11, and you might think it's a little bit crazy to do that, but it's not really. Because all the Bible is about Jesus. It's all about him. Jesus once said, "Search the scriptures, for these are they which testify of me." Remember when he was after his resurrection and he met the two men on the road to Emmaus, and the two were very downhearted, saying, "We thought that it was this Jesus who was going to be the Savior, the Messiah. He's been crucified." And we're told that Jesus began at that scripture and showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He showed them how he was there in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Christ is there. And our duty is to find Christ. To find Christ in this chapter. And to find Christ in every chapter of the Bible. Because it's all about Jesus. What is the Bible? It's gospel. It's good news. It's salvation. It's telling us that God sent his Son into this world to die on the cross for sinners. It's telling us this great message of salvation so that we will put our faith in Jesus Christ. God loves to save. God gave his beloved only begotten Son to die for us. And he is risen again. And he's a mighty, living, powerful Savior. And our duty and our privilege is to put our faith in him. So we have to pray for the Lord to give us guidance and enlightenment, illumination, to enable us to understand the scriptures and to gain profit from it. Let's turn then to verse 1 of this chapter. "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring 1 in 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in the other cities." First thing I want you to direct your attention to is Jerusalem, the holy city. We're told here about a holy city. Why is it holy? It's holy because God chose it. God chose to dwell there. God chose to place his name there. God said, "Build a temple there, and I will dwell there among you. And you shall come year after year, and you shall come to Jerusalem, and you shall worship me." God's place where God would be worshipped. It's the holy city. And it's the holy city because of God's plan concerning Jerusalem. God had a plan. And the Old Testament is looking forward to the fulfillment of that plan. And the plan was that Jesus would come. That the Son of God would become a man. And that he would live. And that he would suffer. And that he would die. Bethlehem is important because Jesus was born there. Galilee is important because Jesus grew up there. But Jerusalem, it's the holy city. It's where the climax took place. Jerusalem is the place where Jesus died. Died to save us. The climax of his whole life. He gave his life a ransom for many. Remember when Herod was threatening Jesus. And Jesus said, "We must go on. We must go forward. We can't stay here. we have to go on to Jerusalem. It cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Jerusalem, the place where the prophets, most of the prophets, died as martyrs. And now in the end of the age comes the Lord Jesus Christ. He can die nowhere else but in Jerusalem, the holy city. See him as he approaches Jerusalem and the crowds gather round singing, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And a few days later, crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas, Barabbas the robber, Barabbas the murderer. Set him free. Crucify Christ. Get rid of him. The city which crucified Christ. The city where man's greatest wickedness was revealed. The greatest sin that was ever committed was the taking of the Son of God and nailing him to a cross. The greatest sin, and at the same time, the greatest act of salvation. Whom you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God raised him from the dead. You crucified him, and God raised him. Man's wickedness, but God's love. Man's greatest sin, God's greatest saving act. The holy city. But it's no longer holy. Jesus died there. And when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn down from the top to the bottom. The temple was no longer the dwelling place of God. Destroy this temple, said Jesus, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands. They destroyed the Jerusalem temple by crucifying Christ. On the third day he rose again and began building his church, his temple, made out of spiritual stones, men and women. God's Jerusalem today, God's holy city, is you and me. The children of God, those who love him, and those who put their faith in him. Remember what Jesus said to the woman of Samaria. She said, we believe in worshipping God here at Mount Gerizim in Samaria. You worship God in the temple at Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. The hour cometh and now is, when neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem shall men worship the Father. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The day of altars and temples and physical things like that, and all the pictures and the symbols and the types of the Old Testament, that day is fast passing. It passed with Jesus' death on the cross. And now every place is holy where God's people worship him. So this is a holy place as we gather together in the name of Jesus to call upon the Lord our God and worship him. So we have here then, first of all, the holy city. And that reminds us of Jesus and his work. Secondly, notice that 1/10 of the people were chosen to dwell in Jerusalem. The rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring 1/10 to dwell at Jerusalem, the holy city. 9 parts to dwell in the other cities. The walls of the temple, the walls of the city had been built. The temple had already been built. So you now had the capital city, the holy city. The temple was there. But there was only a handful of people living in Jerusalem. Very few people. It wasn't enough to guard the city, to keep this walled city. So there's a question. Who would like to live in the holy city? In the holy place, near to God? And most of the people didn't want to do that. You see, they were being motivated by worldly concerns. There wasn't much work in Jerusalem. There wasn't much trade going on there. There wasn't much opportunity to get rich and prosperous. The economy at that time was an agricultural one. People had fields and they planted in these fields, and so they grew food for themselves and food that could also be sold for money. Most of the people, they wanted to be out in the country, making money for themselves. And that raises, of course, a question, doesn't it? What means most to us? Is it making money? Is it getting on in the world? Or is it being right with God and worshipping Him and serving Him? Is it God's blessing that we seek above all else? Or is it earthly things like money? Christmas time, children, is it presents that we set our hearts on more than anything else? Presents are fine in their own place, but we must set our hearts first upon God and love Him far more than presents. Love Him far more than material things, earthly things. Our hearts must be set on God. So you see what they did. The people cast lots. That is, they somehow or other, they put names into a bag or whatever, chose out certain names, certain families. One way or another, they cast lots in order that they would select 1 in 10 who would dwell in Jerusalem. It needed a tenth of the population to be there. The big city, the capital city, to guard it, to look after it. It's interesting how often 1 in 10 appears in the scriptures. You find it with Abraham when he came back from his victory in war, how he gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem, the priest of the Most High God. He gave a tenth to the Lord. Remember when Jacob had his wonderful dream at Bethel, and he woke in the morning and he said, God is here and I knew it not, and he called it Bethel, the house of God. And he said to God, God, if you're with me and look after me and bring me back to this place, I will give a tenth of all that I have to you. A tenth given to the Lord. And then in the days of Moses, that was laid down in the law, that the Israelites had to contribute a tenth of their income for the maintaining of the temple, the priesthood, and the Levites. A tenth was given to God. And so we find in the book of Malachi, you rob God. Wherein do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. You're not giving me your tithe the way you should. You're not giving your offerings to me. God is looking for the very minimum, a tithe from us. He's looking to us to give Him our tenth. A tithe to the Lord. Now, if we go back in Nehemiah to chapter 7 and verses 4 and 5, we see there how this problem had emerged, how Jerusalem had so few inhabitants, and Nehemiah found a genealogy of the people. So he was able to set out the people in families, and by this means a choice was made. The lot was cast, 1 in 10 was chosen. God was involved, of course, in that, because there's no such thing as chance or luck with regard to God. God is the one who's behind all that takes place. And God sovereignly selects a tenth of the people to come and to live in Jerusalem, to be close to him there in the holy city. A tithe given to the Lord. That's the picture that we have there. So let us give our tithes also to the Lord. But moving on then to verse 2. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Willing volunteers. It would seem that some of the people volunteered to give up their farms, to give up their home in the country, their estate, and come to live in the holy city. They were happy to make that sacrifice, and they joyfully volunteered themselves. And we're told that the people praised them, blessed them for what they did. It's good to see that there are always those who the Lord moves their hearts and stirs them up so that they give themselves to the worship of God, to the service of God. It's good to be servants of the Lord, to do his work, and to do it happily and cheerfully. You know, there is one great volunteer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest volunteer of all. He came from the holy place of heaven, from the paradise of heaven, from the joy and the bliss of heaven. And he volunteered to come into this world. Where would you and I be if Jesus had never been born? We'd be lost, and we would go to hell forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ came willingly. To do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. A body thou hast prepared for me. He came. He became man. He humbled himself. He who was rich was for our sakes made poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. Think of the riches that Jesus had in heaven. Gave up that riches. Came, entered into the womb of the Virgin Mary. Born of her. Lived in this world. Died a cursed death on the cross to save us. Greater love, he says, hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. So he came from heaven, and he took a human body, tempted in all points like as we are, and he voluntarily and freely gave his life for us. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself freely. He freely volunteered. He freely gave himself. Think of Moses. Moses was brought up in a palace in the land of Egypt. He was surrounded with every luxury. But Moses, we are told, by faith, he gave up all that. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He gave up the life in the palace to associate with the Jews, with the Israelites, to suffer with them, And he did suffer with them. But he also inherited heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up something far better than Moses gave up. He gave up the palace of heaven and the sinless pleasures of heaven in order to suffer with the people of God and suffer for the people of God, to die for you and me. And so he opened for us a dwelling place with himself in the Canaan of heaven. Oh, that we would put our trust in him. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Moving on, verse 6, we see here soldiers for the Lord. All the sons of Perez that dwelt at Jerusalem were 80 valiant men. Valiant men. Men to guard Jerusalem. Men to fight for it. Men to ensure the safety of Jerusalem. But really the safety of Jerusalem was from God, wasn't it? He that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. Yes, God is the safety of Jerusalem. But at the same time, you and I have to gird our sword on, as it were. We have to be fighters and warriors on the Lord's side too. We have been called to be the church militant, the church at war. We have been called to be fighters for him, to fight the good fight of faith, to resist the devil so that he will flee from us, to stand up against him, to fight for Christ, for his name, for his glory, not to be ashamed of him, to stand on his side, to be witnesses, to be proclaimers of his gospel. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. But we must continue wrestling, fighting against the sin in our own hearts, fighting against the sin that is around us, fighting for Christ and for his kingdom, seeking to defend the church of God and to promote it. We have the soldiers here, these valiant men, 468 valiant men who were amongst the soldiers who defended Jerusalem. Let us remember that we are called to be soldiers in the army of Christ. He is the captain of the host. He's the general, and we are to follow him. And then, moving on to verse 10, we see that priests dwelt at Jerusalem, of the priests Jediah, the son of Joiarib, and Jachin, etc. The priests did the work of a house. In the Old Testament, only the sons of Aaron were priests. In the New Testament, every Christian is a priest. You are a royal priesthood. In the New Testament, we have one high priest, Jesus Christ, who offered the perfect sacrifice once for all. He offered the sacrifice, and then, having offered himself, the Lamb of God, he entered into heaven with his own blood to make intercession for us. He is interceding on our behalf. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So Jesus is the great priest. And Roman Catholic priests are constantly offering the Mass, offering bread and wine, and saying that the death of Christ on the cross wasn't sufficient. They're wrong. They're totally wrong. By one sacrifice, he hath forever perfected them that are sanctified. We don't need any further sacrifices of that nature, sacrifices for sin. But there are sacrifices that we are to give. We are, as his priests, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, ourselves to be the servants of God. We're to offer the calves of our lips. Calves? What are the calves of your lips? Calves were sacrifices. Lips were lips that sing praises. So the calves of our lips are the sacrifices of praise. Sacrifices of worship, praising God with these wonderful psalms, inspired psalms that he gives us. Singing praise to God, offering our sacrifices of praise, and our prayers too are sacrifices of praise to God. The priest's work then was one of offering sacrifices to God. And you and I are called upon to be priests. One great high priest, Jesus Christ, he came into this world to be a priest. He was born in Bethlehem to die at Calvary and to die as he offered himself a sacrifice to God for our salvation. Verse 15, we see the Levites mentioned there. Also of the Levites, and we're told in verse 16, they had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. They had to do the more general work and the work outside the temple, the work connected with the temple, but particularly the outward business. The priests had the inner business next, as it were, to the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And then the Levites. The Levites were workers for God too. All of us should be workers for God. We should look for opportunities to serve God. What can we do for the Lord? How can we witness for him? How can we serve God in this world? What work can we do? Practical work or spiritual work? We should always be looking for opportunities to do good. Do good unto all men. Be ready to communicate, to share with others, to do good, to help. And then, finally, notice prayer in verse 17. We're told that Mattaniah, the son of Micah, and the son of Sabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. Thanksgiving in prayer. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What is the unspeakable gift? The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unspeakable in that you cannot put words on how great a gift it is. Giving thanks. In Old Testament times, they gave thanks also for Jesus Christ. Their salvation could only be through Christ, even in Old Testament times. Could only be through Christ. Thanks be unto God for Jesus Christ. Prayer is so important. We are weak. We're so feeble. God is almighty. How can we get Almighty God to help us? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whatever our needs are, come with our concerns, come with our burdens, come with our needs, come in prayer and come in thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. Do you forget sometimes to thank God for the good things he gives you? Are any of us as thankful as we should be? do we not so often take things for granted? Thanks be unto God. Verse 22, the singers praising and glorifying God in thanksgiving and praise and worship. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here we are then tonight, looking at God's word, passage from the Old Testament, but it must direct us to Christ, and we have been thinking about Jesus. Salvation comes through Jesus alone. Child of God, appreciate Christ more and more. Rejoice in Him, love Him, praise Him, trust in Him. And if you're not a Christian tonight, commit your life to Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Take Jesus as your Savior and flee from the wrath to come.